I'm all in favor of change, said somebody, provided it doesn't make any difference. I think a bit like that sometimes, and maybe you do as well. Change can be unsettling. It may even be threatening. So we may prefer to remain as we are with familiar things and familiar people around us. Some of you may know, I'm sure some of you know, that my favorite game is golf. I've played it now for more than 65 years, and I belong to Sundridge Park Golf Club down in Bromley, where a few years ago there was a great big debate going on, and the question which caused a lot of disagreement at that time was whether women golfers should become members on equal terms with men. Some men were very strongly in favor, and I was one of them, but others were not, and they said so forcibly. And I remember a big meeting about all this, and I went along all prepared to speak at it. Happily, I didn't need to do so, and I was very pleased when the majority agreed that women should become members on exactly the same terms as men. It was a decision which brought quite a number of changes into the life of the golf club. It's great, however, that several years on, it's no longer a matter of controversy at Sundridge Park. It's still a matter of disagreement, though, at some golf clubs around the country. Now, if we go back 2,000 years, there was a similar debate going on in the Christian church. And the big question at that time was this: should Gentile people, that is, non-Jewish people, become members of the Christian church on the same basis as Jewish Christians? The first Christians were Jews. The 12 apostles were Jews. Jesus was born a Jew, and in the Old Testament, God's special people were Jews. So on this basis, some of the early Jewish Christians were saying that Gentile people, that's non-Jews, were not welcome unless and until they became Jews first of all. Once again, it was a debate about who was welcome and who was not welcome. It was also a debate about whether a big change was acceptable. In other words, were those early Jewish Christians prepared to change their thinking and their actions? Were they ready to do something new and give a really warm welcome to Gentile people who wanted to become Christian believers? Happily, the answer was yes, and this change came about, though not without difficulties and ongoing tensions. It was not an easy situation. It meant that many people had to leave their comfort zones. It meant also that Jewish Christians needed to look afresh at the life and the teaching and the example of Jesus. They looked afresh, for example, at the visit of the three kings to the infant Jesus. And they realized, perhaps for the very first time, that the baby Jesus was seen and worshipped not only by local shepherds in Bethlehem who were Jews, but also by the three kings who were not Jews, who were Gentiles. And then those early Christians understood in a new way that although Jesus went first to the Jewish people, he also reached out beyond them to people who were not Jews. Then there was the teaching and the commandments of Jesus that the first Jewish Christians were to go into all the world and tell as many people as possible about Jesus Christ. They were to make disciples in every nation and not just the Jewish nation. So it was a call to them to go to every country, every race, every culture, and so on. To go out to people wherever and whoever they may be. And we heard the famous words of Jesus about this just a few moments ago. And it's remarkable, you know, that 2,000 years on, we've got roughly 200 nations in the world. More than 90% of the nations in the world have a Christian presence in them. Just think of the different cultures and races and all the rest of it. It's quite remarkable. It took some time for the penny to drop, and you can read the story in the book of Acts. It's a great story, and it tells us how God guided some of those first Jewish Christians to reach out to those of other faiths and to those of no faith, reaching out to those who are of quite different culture and background. It meant meeting new people, welcoming new people, speaking with people and about the message of Jesus. It meant change and shake-up for them as they expanded their horizons with the message of welcome in the name of Jesus Christ. That was unsettling. Of course it was unsettling, because for many Jewish Christians, it meant thinking in new ways, stepping outside comfort zones, relating to people whose life experience was so very different to their own. Did you know that there have been countless studies of local Christian churches, academic studies and all the rest of it, over the last 50 years? And they show very clearly that most Christians prefer to go to church with other people who share the same kind of background and a similar sort of lifestyle. In many ways, this is very understandable, but it can have its downsides. And one of these is that groups and cliques of like-minded people can sometimes develop in local churches. They can even become a bit exclusive, and this can make it much harder for new people to come and join the church. There's been other studies about local churches, and one of the key things for people who come to a local church for the first time is the kind of welcome that they receive. You all use Google, no doubt, and if you look online at reviews of local churches, you'll see that it's mentioned again and again the matter of the kind of welcome that people receive. And you get comments, look it up on Google and you'll find hundreds of these, thousands probably, saying, the welcome was very poor, nobody at all spoke to me, they were all talking to each other. Then there's the opposite kind of comment which praises the warm and sensitive welcome that people have received. And it's very natural that people who come to a local church for the first time, they stand outside the door and they wonder, what on earth am I going to find when I get inside? Perhaps some of you can recall that kind of thinking. Bridget was saying at the start of this service that we're now in 2018, and on Sunday mornings we're thinking about the key matters that our church council see as being important for our way ahead in the life of this church and also St. Peter's Church. And to say it again, the key theme for this morning is that all are welcome. And I thank God that there are so many people in the Good Shepherd and in St. Peter's who've already got this message. But nothing is so good that it cannot be improved. And so I'm hoping and praying that under Bridget's great leadership, this message is going to go out more and more into our neighborhood. Spread this message, will you? All are welcome here at the Good Shepherd. All are welcome here at St. Peter's. And however long it may be since you last came to church, whatever your reason is for coming to church, you're welcome. And part of all this is that as new people come in through the church doors, they will find a warm welcome, not just on their first visit, but on all subsequent visits. Part of all this is that church members who've been around for some time will always be looking out for new people and giving some sort of appropriate welcome. That's people coming to us, but it's also a matter of us going to other people with a message. Come and be part of us. You're welcome, with invitations and hospitality. And again, yet another study, I'm quoting lots of studies, aren't I? The studies show that again and again, people rediscover Christian faith or come to Christian faith for the first time, come through an invitation from a church member. Jesus welcomed everybody. Jesus holds out his invitation and welcome to everybody, and we are called to do the same. Jesus did not cross-examine people when they came in the church door and say, are you living in this way? Are you living in that way? No, he welcomed people as they are, exactly as they are, and how they came on that particular occasion. One of the big criticisms that Jesus got was that he welcomed tax collectors and sinners. some religious people of the day were rather superior. They looked down on other people. They looked down on tax collectors and sinners, as they were known, and they criticized Jesus for welcoming them. Doesn't mean that Jesus did not call people to repent. Jesus did call people to repent. He called people to change their minds and to change their behavior. It's been well said that Jesus calls us and welcomes us as we are, but he does not leave us where we are. He wants us to become more and more like him in the way that we think and behave day by day. He wants us to learn to welcome people as he welcomed people, which inevitably means changes for us, because the Christian life is about growing and developing as the years go by. And the life of the local church is the same. It's about moving on year by year as God leads us on. In some cases, it's about the introduction of something that's new. In other cases, it's about doing something better and reaching more and more people with God's love. I thank God for the welcome that so many people receive and enjoy in the two churches of this parish. I thank God for the recent birth of the food bank open in our other church of St. Peter's on Saturday mornings. It offers welcome, parcels of food, hot drinks, and clothing to those in particular need around us. It's part of the way that we want to welcome more and more people as two local churches. As I finish, I'm nearly there now, but I just want to re-echo Bridget's special welcome to those who come specially for the baptisms. I so enjoyed the baptisms this morning, and if I may so, I particularly enjoyed that four candles moment.
I
nearly whispered it to you. I nearly whispered it to you, and then I thought, well, I'll be able to put that in the sermon. We will remember this baptism.
Four candles.
Lovely young people. Lights. Let's pray that they will be lights. Let's pray they will be active members of God's church. They are welcome. Children are welcome. Children are part of the church. And wouldn't it be wonderful if they grow up active Christians to welcome other people into the family of Christ? That's what I'm praying for them this morning. All are welcome. I won't say it yet again. Yes, I will say one more thing. If you're new this morning, stay with us for coffee if you can. Maybe you've got a party and you can't, but stay with us if you can. And I hope that other church members will come and talk with you. And put them to shame, you go and talk with them. If they don't come and talk with you. All are welcome. That's a big part of our message here at Good Shepherd Church, because that's what Jesus is about. He wants to welcome each one of us and to give each one of us a new hope and a new sense of belonging. That's a large part of what Christian baptism is about. Welcome from Jesus, new hope, new belonging. And may each one of us be part of all this more and more in the days ahead. Amen.